What he's looking at today, continuing from last week, is you're here with a purpose yet. Amen? You're here with a purpose. And, oh, I mean, it's easy to get, you might ever get tired. Yeah, it is, you know. You know, I thank the Lord, though, for one thing is that even when I'm tired sitting in my easy chair, I can still pray. You know, he'll still bring people across my spirit, you know. But I got to watch myself to make sure I don't think, well, I prayed in my chair last night, so I don't need to do this, Lord, right? And sometimes it's both. You have physical work to do. And what I mean by physical work is driving somewhere where the Lord lays upon your heart, or picking that phone up and calling somebody when he lays upon your heart. Amen? You know, he just doesn't want us to get more complacent. He wants us to trust in him, rely on him 100%. You know, to rely on him 100%. We're going to pop into Matthew here in a moment if you want to get there. But we just started last week a little bit. But last week the Lord was showing to us that we don't have to have the cares of the world within us, because we're not in this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And as we applied his word to our life, I mean, he takes away that burden that some people are carrying right now. I mean, the anxiousness that a lot of folks have right now. We don't have that. As followers of Christ, we have the confidence in his word, and we're following him. We shouldn't be worried about anything. Amen? Concern? Maybe. But not worried about it. Well, last week I just closed with the bottom part of Matthew 6:34. But I was going to put these together and then tie it in from last week. But Father, just be with us today as we pick up from last week, Lord. Holy Spirit, just work through us today. Bring forth your message of encouragement to each one of my brothers and sisters here, Lord. That we can be all that you want us to be, to bring glory to the Lord and your salvation to this world, and encouragement to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, "Now for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they are? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Ah, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. You know, 33, I think, is the key part there. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek him. And all the things that we do need is added to us. And I was reading a part up there about the birds. They do not sow, nor reap, nor do gather in the barns. They have their Father and feeds them. And what made it funny to me was we have birds at home now. Baltimore Orioles. Am I saying that correctly? In the morning, they wake me up. They're pecking on our glass door, want me to come out and feed them. I mean, so, and they're not toiling, they're not working. They're just knocking on my door. I thought, it's amazing. how the bird knows where the God is feeding him from. I mean, yeah, I mean, it just peck, 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 and I got to get up and go feed him. So, man, I'm going to give one of you guys his addresses. What's that? It's, yeah, I mean, it just, it was saying, hey, we know the word of God. We don't toil. We don't sow. Come on, come feed us, you know. All right. But the scripture that I just read to you, and then last week's scripture, you remember, I have to bring in a nutshell. We talk about Malachi, about bringing the tithe into the church, okay? And we talked about Matthew 22:23, that God says, okay, bring the tithe in, but I'm telling you what, also do not forget about love and mercy and faithfulness, you know? It's a tithe, but also it has to be wrapped around faithfulness and love, okay? Then he reminds us to be a cheerful giver. So all these things coming together. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12 reminds us that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So these are some of the scriptures he's shown us last week that led us up to where we're at today. Because in Philippians 4:19, he tells us that God will supply all needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And what he wants us to do is rest assured on this. As we have done what his words are saying, as we are followers of Christ, right? And we seek the Lord, his righteousness, we find God in his word, correct? That's how he speaks to us, where he speaks to us through our spirit. But as we apply these things, principles to our life, we're doing what God's called us to do. He said, I got you. Okay? I'll take care of your needs. It's not that we sit down and say, oh, man, give my life to Christ. I'm just going to lay back here. He's going to take care of my needs. It's that we do what he's called us to do. Okay? Not that he's there to fleece us. He's not shaking us down. He's saying, this is part of my financial principle. And if you do this, I'll guarantee I'll do that. Or it's even beyond the financial principle. As you give, you receive. It's not just about the money part of it, but all aspects of our lives. Okay? Malachi tells us, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you. I'll give you a blessing that you cannot contain. You know? So, to show us, guys, hey, be uplifted. And we're following his word. Look, we don't have to have fear with the world the way it is today. You know, we all look at different aspects. Some of us look at our pensions, our 401ks, and that kind of stuff, as or investments, as our security blanket. But as a Christian, our security is God. He's using those things at this moment, but he's saying, listen, man, as you follow me, no matter what takes place in the world, I've got your back, you know, and meet your needs. Again, we are in his kingdom. We are his children. Amen. This place here, we're here temporarily. You have to understand that we're just here temporarily. Man, this is an awesome place that we'll be headed for long. Now, our spirit ain't going to change. Our spirit won't change. Our attitude won't change when we get raptured out of here. We're loving Jesus today, and we want to be in his presence, and we honor him and our talk and everything that we say and do. Man, this is going to be a bonus to be in heaven, you know? Man, that's an awesome thing. So, we look at the way the world is today, and this isn't to bring us down. This is to show us what God wants to do to raise us up. Amen? So, I want you to... We look at our nation right now. Okay? So, I see our nation, and even the world is spiraling out of control when it's going down farther and farther from the moral standards that God gave us. Allowing anything to become okay... If they have what they need, who cares what you do? You know, this is where the world is right now. Who cares? I don't care what Vicky does. He's in my line of sight, okay? I don't care. I got what I need. She can do what she wants. She's not hurting me any, okay? Vicky, well, I don't care about you, but I'm not like Benny back there behind me. See what I'm saying? But we have, as a Christian, we have a moral compass. We have the Word of God. Okay? And so we do care. We should care what's taking place. Because everything in this room right now, everyone here is affecting everybody else, one way or another. Okay? That's why you're sitting by yourself up here, right? Yeah. But we all affect people one way or another, okay? Now, we want to affect people for the positive, for the Lord, amen? Then we want everyone to affect the people around us, our loved ones, for the Lord also, right? That we care about, again, the generations coming behind us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and I don't know if you guys are still producing or what, but, you know, all the kids that come in, we care about that, okay? And kind of like what I said earlier, when Bonnie was talking about the highway being closed and stuff, you know, it's going to be inconvenient for a couple, 3 years, okay? But it's worth the inconvenience that it's going to be like for those coming behind us, for our children or grandchildren who might be taking care of us then, getting better paying jobs, you know, driving back and forth. It just is that we have to just, well, I'm going to say tie our boots, stand up and say, okay, we'll go around it, you know. And when we have to go around the detour, you know, well, thank you, Lord, for the work we have out there. You know, just give them wisdom, keep them safe, you know, and, you know, whatever we have to do to get through. Knowing that when it gets done, what a blessing is going to be, you know. It really, and of course, we know as soon as they get done, they're going to add more to it. They're going to tear it up again. I mean, this is what they call it. Orange cone season or something like that, you know. How you know the summertime in Ohio, the cones are coming out again, okay? Right. But we look at some of the things right now that's influence our country and people who are making decisions. You know, right now, as we sit here, again, this will lead up to what he wants us to do. But today, right now, our country is deciding probably we're going to retire our health decisions to the WHO, the World Health Organization. That we are getting to the point now that we want this globalness, this one world government, which the Bible speaks of. You know how close we are today for the United States of America to give our health decisions over to the World Health Organization, who brought you COVID-19, who brought you shutdowns, who shut down your schools, shut down your churches, shut down. And then what they will do on a global scale, they're making decisions for your health. You talk about getting to the point where you got to have passports and stuff to get around with. But this is where our country is right now. And folks, this could take place in a month. I mean, can you believe it? Okay? Now, this is what's influencing a lot of people's decisions today. A lot of people are carrying this burden with them. They, oh man, what's going to go on? We see right now in America, the Supreme Court justices are being harassed at their homes because of a document that they purposely, someone slipped out saying that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. And we are allowing hundreds of people to go around the Supreme Court justices' homes and harass them, which is against the law. Against the law. But it's taking place right now because that's how much hate Satan has against the United States of America. Again, Roe versus Wade overturned just brings the issue back to each state. It brings it back to your hands. Your hands to vote. How do you think Roe versus Wade should apply to Ohio? Understand that, okay? And there's some states right now, they are extreme already. They've got it where, man, if they overturn that, we're going to vote over in this state here that kid up to 30 days after birth can be laid there and put to death. And others are saying no abortion at all. And you know, it's just stirring up. But that's people making a lot of decisions today based upon that. The new thing came out yesterday is monkeypox. Monkeypox. I mean, this is now not downplaying monkeypox, but an outbreak, they're saying. Well, the last time we had an outbreak was several years ago, and there was 48 cases in the United States. Right now we have one case. Okay? And monkeypox doesn't have anything to do with monkey. Okay? But what we're gearing up to, all this stuff is being raised up. You have to watch out for because All this will affect you. All of it being planned, I believe that this fall is going to be worse than it was last fall or the fall before that. Be prepared that you're going to have riots because of Roe versus Wade. Okay? You're going to have it because of monkeypox. You're not vaccinated for monkeypox? There'll be another COVID-19 booster for the booster shot will be coming out. And the WHO will be trying to shut things down. Now, the WHO is, again, the World Health Organization. Again, not to alarm us here, because the Master already told you, in the time of His return, these things will be taking place. Amen? Did He not tell you? Okay? And maybe years ago, when you first come to faith, you read these things, oh man, you never dreamt that you're going to be living that day. You know? I mean, it's easy to look at a history book and see what they went through. Look at a history book, see what they're going to go through. But when you're in that history book and you're the one going through it, we just got to be prepared for it. Understand, folks? You got to be spiritually prepared. You have to be mentally prepared for it. You got to say, okay, God, You've chosen us to live in this day. Chose You, okay? There's no free rides today in Christianity, amen? You're either with them or you're not with them, okay? It's like, hey, it's going to get really, really, really tough. You know, really tough, you know. But greater He that's in you, right? It's not to scare us. You know, these scriptures is to strengthen us, prepare us, you know, what's going to take place. You know, I can remember, I don't know why it's come to mind, but a few years ago we had a really bad event going on in Keshock, and I was in charge there on midnight shift. My gosh, we need more assistance. So I ordered, you know, like 30 pairs of sap gloves. Sap gloves are weighted gloves that keep your fingers from getting broke. You know what I'm saying? And they showed up, and the sheriff said, I ain't paying for this. I said, I got to protect my men. We know how bad it's going to get, you know? And if I have to stand in line there, do the thump drag, push a crowd back, I want to save my fingers, you know? Well, I said, okay, that's fine. I'll pay for it. I'm on pocket. Yeah, right. Well, eventually he paid for it. I knew in advance, all right, it was warm, it was going to take place. And what we had to do. So I went ahead and prepared my people under my command to be safe in advance. That's what God's doing right now to us. I'm not tying you out by sap gloves. Don't get the message wrong, okay? But they really do protect your fingers and stuff. But He's told us in advance. This, and guys, you're in it. You are in the coming of the Lord. You're in that time frame right now. Don't let anyone try to talk you out of it. You're in it. He's prepared you for it. Okay, we got to have our mind set on this. We can't let ourselves go back and forth because of things that's going on in the media. The election's coming up. And here's a good one for you. Well, you might not understand it. Chuck probably will. Marty, some of us in farming. Winter wheat is coming in way below average this year. Now, there's winter wheat and summer wheat. Winter wheat is planted in the wintertime, okay? And it comes up just enough and survives during the wintertime. And then, boom, in the springtime, it opens up and is harvested. You need so much frozen temperatures in order for the wheat to be good and or to open up. Your winter wheat, why is it so important? You like pasta? That's where most of your pasta made from the winter wheat, okay? But it's at around $12 a bushel right now. Maybe you guys don't follow the stock market, but normally it's like $3. It's $12 a bushel. Coming in the near future, corn, $18 a bushel they're predicting. Soybean, which is everything made out of soybeans, up to $30 a bushel. And wheat prices might even hit $42 a bushel. Again, everything, shortages are out there. When the Master said, when he said, listen, there are going to be wars and rumor of wars, there's going to be the famines and there are going to be droughts and earthquakes and all those kind of stuff, and it'll cost you a day's wages for a little bit of bread, a little bit of wheat, you know. We're there. Amen? We are there. Well, awesome. I mean, Well, maybe you don't think it's awesome, but listen, God could have chose any of you to be born at any time. He had from the very beginning, He had a plan and purpose for your life. He had a desire to be in fellowship with you. He had a desire to make come to me, be my hands, my feet, my mouth. I'm going to need you. And listen, I give you eternity with me. You're part of my kingdom. Wow, and someday we're going to reign in heaven together. Understand that. But right now, He says, I need you. And did He not already say, I'll meet all your needs. God will meet all your needs in the rich and glory of Christ Jesus. Amen. There's nothing for us to be afraid of. There's nothing for us to be alarmed about. Baby formula shortage. Look at that, what's going on. We are a Christian nation. One nation under God. You know? And so, for us fighting among ourselves, God, there's going to be a way. How you want to do it, God? Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Pray for the leaders. You pray for them. And just, but again, it shows you more and more, folks. It squishes down to one world order. And in order for that to take place, they got to take you out of the picture. In order to take place, they have to remove God out of everything. And they get you mad enough to leave God in the back seat and you start driving in your own car again and you start doing things the old way, then they win. Amen? We just got to have confidence in God and His Word. You know, the baby formula. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, this is my... We are so upset there's no baby formula to feed the babies. Why aren't we that upset that there's no babies? Hey, listen! Wow. I want to encourage you again. These mommies out there, these little girls are having babies and they're scared to death. Help them out. You know, don't be judgmental. Say, hey, listen. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago, I saw a bumper sticker that said, you're going to breed them. If you're going to breed them, you got to feed them. I thought, well, come on. So it's a great thing that we should consider when we have children. Amen? Is something okay? But kids have been known to pop up anytime. And folks, we just need to have a loving heart for them. We had a call yesterday, Aunt Carol did. From another church in town, there's a little lady, a little girl in the hospital having a baby. And she has no place to live. I thought, man, how difficult that would be to bring life into the world and know when the baby's here, you have no place to go. And so we're praying that something will come up there, you know. So not to be judgmental, but to be able to help, you know. Do what we can. That's where He wants our hearts to be, you know. Education, of course, but to help. Lake Powell, with a big lake out there along Colorado River, it feeds a lot of cropland. It's down to only 33% at a normal rate. Diesel shortage, and the price is way up. I mean, last night we saw where Lafayette was out of gas till last night. They had run out of gas. And gas is out of sight. Our dear friends in China owns 146,000 acres of farmland here in America. They own Nathan Hot Dogs, Smithville Foods, Smithville Hams, Armor Foods. If you love pot of meat, maybe just me, they own that now. They have mortgages on our park, national parks. We mortgaged them 15 years ago to get stimulus money to pass out to people. It was all on the network right then, selling us out. You know what I'm saying? Yes? Yeah, in California. Yeah. Then they came in back a few years ago when out in our area, everybody signing up for the leases and stuff, the gas rights and stuff. A firm from Texas got a bunch of people involved with it. Then Texas turned around and sold the leases to China. Now, most of them are expired by now, but not the people, the leases. Okay. The Dow Jones closed at 31,261. from nearly coming down from 37,000 in less than a year. We're headed into what they call a bear market. You know the difference between a bear market and a bull market? I didn't know. Huh? And I'll teach you real quick, because I didn't know it until I was studying this out. I heard of a bear market, a bull market, you know. Well, I like bull, I like beef, you know. A bear market is when the market has dropped 20% from a stabilized height quickly. Why the bear market? Because when a bear fights, it fights down. The paw comes down, it takes you down. Okay? When the market's strong, is going forward, they call it a bull market, because a bull, when he fights, his horn goes down and shoves up. Shoves up. Now, I've heard that all my life. I had no idea. I thought maybe that bull stood for something else, too. I wasn't sure. But a bear market, we're coming down, Again, a lot of us here today, we are invested in the stock market. Okay? You say, well, I don't think I... Well, if you draw Social Security, a pension, 401k, everything's invested somewhere along the stock market. Okay? Everything that we just talked about there, it can turn around 180 degrees in a heartbeat. But we, as followers of the Master, rely upon what God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And what we need here on earth to finish out the calling He placed in your life, He is going to make sure that you have it. Amen? Now, so if He's going to meet all our needs and all this stuff is going on, what does He want you and I to do right now? What should we be doing right now? Oh, I mean, we've already talked over the years, put up an extra can of bean or two in your cellar. Because we know times don't get tough, okay? Now, beans only last so long, okay? I mean, well, I won't go down there. But to be prepared, it's not for us to be hermits, but to have stuff prepared when Walmart gets wiped out again or next time we get closure. You cannot put enough food away in order to live here forever, but you're not going to be here forever. Knowing that God already gave us the information, we should be prepared, but it's not to hanker down, it's to do what He's called you to do. And I find what He wants us to do, your primary goal when you're going to do all this for us, I found some of it in Matthew 5:13. If you want to turn there, guys. We had to remind ourselves as we go through this, okay? And He's got your back, that He's got a calling on our life, that we have a purpose here. And it's not to be without hope. It's not to be scared. It's not to be running around without any hope. Eat my water. If anybody the other night when they heard that big boom, if the first thing you ask, well, man, did the rapture happen? You better be talking to God a little bit more. That means you're not going with Him. No. But 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. Wow. Why are you still here? You're the salt of the earth. But the salt has become tasteless. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now I'm going to pick two more verses too and go back and pile it together here. And Luke 14:34, I'm going to share a couple of verses with you. Luke chapter 14, verse 34. And as you're turning here, Charlie, earlier, you got up to go to the restroom. And you stood up, you lost your balance, you about fell over. The first thing that might come to mind was that song about the school come to church. Anybody ever heard that movie before? on the school come to church. I'll sing it to you sometime. Luke 14:34 says, therefore, salt is good, but even salt has become tasteless. With what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. So in the midst of all this turmoil that's going on in this world, all this stuff's got people going round circles and they're starting to hate one another and they're starting to do each other dirty and they're talking about people and everything else. We have been called to be the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And a lot of the things we know that salt does. Salt, number one, adds flavor. It does. If you ever eat something, this little bit of salt makes a difference in life. We have to remember that he who lives inside of us can make a difference in other people's lives. And we are called to do that. Now, if we let ourselves get wrapped up in all this turmoil stuff, and let it come in and start tearing us apart, start taking away from our peace and our joy, and next thing we'll walk around like a 44-year-old prune out been outside for all day in the sun, folks, we're losing our saltiness. We're losing... Salt on a slug. That's amazing. Well, it's not. Yeah. So what we want to do is make sure we don't let ourselves get wrapped into with the concerns. Take your concerns to the Lord. Pray. But look at the scripture and speaking of God. I don't know what's going to take place, but I know you got my back. I serve you. I'm your child. And Lord, I'm here for a purpose. I was born for this time. I'm in the midst of this conversation, or I'm over in this thing here, whatever it is. Use me. You know? Use me. And that can be, the days that are coming our way can be many, many, many different ways of being used by Him. But sharing His Word, sharing His love, and loving those who are going to be down on their luck. If the stock market goes down, it's really harder on rich people, you know? Because if you're restricted in your means, you're used to living without anything, you know? Like the song that Alabama used to sing, you know, the stock market fell, but we couldn't tell because they're so poor to start with, you know? So we got to make sure our hearts, you know, if the president of the bank is going crazy because he lost all this money and stuff, our hearts should be, amen, not that, hey, I deserve your right. No, we need to go and comfort them. Go and show them the Lord. Hey, listen, we know you lost a lot, but that's nothing. God's got a lot more to give you. He has a lot more, and that's peace. And there's a place in heaven we don't need money. I mean, can you imagine going to a place that you walk on gold? That's your blacktop is gold? My land, I'm going to see the rest of it, you know. So we're to be the salt and to encourage and if prices goes up, goes down, I mean, there might be some restriction. We might not have the ability to, have the finances to entertain like we used to. And to me, entertainment is going through the drive-thru. You know what I'm saying? I mean, having that extra money to go through, you know, sometimes it's cheaper to go through the drive-thru and just going home and try to cook it, you know. But there might be some, I mean, again, we got to be focused what we have today. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow, whatever he'll supply my need tomorrow, whatever it might going to be, you know, I'm not going to sit up and worry about it. So what we can do is go about and be part of his voice, be part of his salt, okay? Now, another scripture I want to share with you is Matthew 5:14, which I just took you out of a minute ago. I know. This is how Jesus sees us, sees you and me. He says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house." He sees you as light. He himself calls himself light. In John 8:12, he's saying things. He says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus tells that. But he's talking to you. You are the light of the world. You. If you're born again, if you're following Jesus, he sees you as the light of the world. He says, "Now who lights a lamp and stick it underneath a bushel?" There's a song like that. Yeah. So, he did not start a fire inside of you to bring you in to this time, to this age, to this awesomeness of his prophecy being fulfilled. He didn't do that to take you and stick a lampshade over top of you and hide you. No. He said, like a city on a hill. You know, and he was, when he was speaking to the big city over there and it light up the valley, people would see that city from That light from miles away. You know, sometimes in the summertime, in our backyard, I look toward the southeast, and I can see the lights from Cambridge. And that's probably, what, 20 miles of the crow flies, maybe? Something like that. Crow fly is a street for city folks. But I can actually find Cambridge, why don't you, by just following the lights and stuff like that. So he didn't place us here to say, okay, Lord, thank you. He wants to be thankful, but he wants a light shine. And folks, the thing about that, you're never going to know exactly when he's going to turn that bulb up. You know, we have one at home that's got three things, low, medium, high. You know, I call it cheap, expensive, and out of the world. You got three levels of it, okay? That's where we have to rely with inside of ourselves. The Holy Spirit is, if I can say, he's the lamp turner on, I'll put it this way, okay? And so, in the days that we're living in, again, we are the salt of the world, and we are the what? The light of the world, and we follow him. Let me check here, I think I have one more yet, and I'll weave it all together. Matthew 5:16. Huh? Matthew 5:16. Oh, okay, we are. Well, I was over in John. I get back over, okay. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I know sometimes we think when we do things for the Lord or we serve the Lord that we should always do things in secretly. Mm-hmm. Because in Matthew 6:1 he tells you, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. But I want to share with you on this. Is that he's saying, if your only motivation is to do something charitable, and your only motivation is to, hey, listen, I'm going to do this and get all the glory. You know, I want the headlines. You know, you think that's your reward right there. But if your heart is, and God knows your heart, thank God He knows our heart. Because even when we try to do something right and it backfires, He knows our motivation. Okay, but when we do something for someone, and he wants us to bring God glory with it, okay? So if you want to do something to somebody and other people see you doing it and they bring it to attention to somebody else, next thing you know you're on the front page of the paper, that doesn't take away what you just did. Amen? Your desire was not to have anything like that. It was to serve Him, but to bring God the glory for it, okay? And a lot of folks are thinking, well, the Bible contradicts itself, but no, he's talking about it's the motivation of your heart. Motivation. So we do things for His glory. We don't do it for ourselves, and we don't do it for the recognition, you know. My heart kind of breaks sometimes when you see different things. I mean, a lot of folks do things just to get recognition. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about a lot of the celebrities and stuff, you know. I mean, it's amazing. Hey, we'll go out and feed the hungry today. And they're out there feeding them. They get like 14 cameras with them. They get all this stuff. And they're using the poor folks. They're using us as a, hey, look what I'm doing type deal. And I mean, it should never be that way. But going back to this, I'll be closing with this issue here that I come across. But is you are to be the light of the world. We are the moral compass of the world. Okay? Are we here to tell other people how to live their lives? No, but we're here to tell them how God says to live their life. And folks, we have to get off the point that, well, I ain't going to say nothing, because, listen, whatever, if God would tarry, whatever you lead to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids, are they going to be able to tolerate it? If we give in more today, how worse is going to be? Who ever thought the way the world is today? We'd be living this way. Who ever thought the challenges and fighting is going on right now just for a little baby's life? How much worse can it get? A whole lot worse. And it will get a whole lot worse when the church is gone. But we can't give up the fight. Say, oh, Lord, come get us out of here. Yes, Lord, come, but only on your time element. Okay? So that light shining can cause you issues just because you want to serve the Lord. I want to share this with a gentleman I come across of yesterday. This guy was on a beach, not here in Coshocton. I mean, I'm not sure what beach it was. And he was really, really busy beach. And he come across two girls, women, and not picking on women, men can do the same thing, but they're sunbathing in what he called a porno bikini. Okay? Now, during this is a YouTube type deal. They never show the ladies, okay? Because they don't say, well, what's the address of that pastor, okay? You know? But the guy walked, this about 30 years old, talked to the lady and said, listen, this is a public beach here, and my children over here, and we got the older folks over here, and man, your outfit, man, it's porno. I mean, come on, what do you think you are? And someone started filming this, not him. He did not come to make an issue that way, but somebody, friends of the girls, I think it was, started filming it. And the guy said, listen, you know, you got to think about other people. I mean, pornography is a big addiction in America right now. He said, I was delivered from it a long time ago. And we can't have the immoral decay here on the beach. This is a public beach, and you got, look at that, and just like there's the kids over here and this stuff going on. And of course, a lot of people making fun of him. Yeah, your fuddy dud. I mean, the guy's about 30 years old, okay? But he took a stand. He wasn't condemning them. They listened. The way you dress is immoral. Shouldn't be out here in public this way. Held them accountable for their action. I mean, probably the first one to have done that. And I would say, you know, most of them saying, most guys, boys, they shouldn't be dressing that way. Isn't that a shame? Look at that, Jeff. You know what I'm saying? But he went on, and he just explained it to me. God moved upon him to take a stand and share that. Okay? And say some people agree, but the other one just laughed him out and called him old headed and that kind of stuff. But this YouTube thing got posted. And he got to the company where the guy works for, a construction company. And the boss saw it. And the guy got fired. He got fired being on his own time, taking a stand for morality, taking a stand for the generation that he's bringing into this world, saying, listen, ladies, don't be dressing like that. And I'm saying, this was a lady that men are out there the same way. You know what I'm saying? But he took a stand, shone God's light, spoke to the ladies, people around them, and it cost him his job. Now, I don't have any updates on him. I don't know what's going on from there. But I just know that God's word is true. He says, you know, I got you. I'll supply all your needs. You just never know. You know, there's a lot of people who lost their jobs because they followed Christ and took a stand. And I see it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. You know, not wavering. And I prayed that the girls he was witnessing to would get a hold of them, you know. And maybe it's, you know, I won't say it's not the girls' fault, but they've been raised in an area that your self-worth is based upon your body. Don't we? Your body, you got to show everything you got. Got to entice people with it. And when did it start, these girls? My lands. Folks, have you guys got kids, grandkids, little girls? Some of these dancing, it's like the ballerina dances. It's not nothing but an 8-year-old bluff show. We're dressing our kids. That you gotta have a body. I mean, they're painting the girls up like prostitutes. At 6, 8, 10 years old, we wonder why we have this immoral decay. And folks, it's very unwelcoming, say, hey, don't dress my granddaughter that way. Man, she looks like somebody be down there on Fifth Avenue, and I've never been to Fifth Avenue. Not sure what's down there, okay? But maybe I think you should dress them differently. Well, we're going to dress this way. I'm just saying, you know, modest is what God wants, okay? I'm just saying because I know your kids are younger, so older, so I'm not picking on you. But to share that, now it cost him his job, okay, but God will bless him for it. And maybe when if you share that, when the light comes on and he has you share something with somebody, it might not change the situation, but we should do what God wants it to be, a peace in you. He's like, yeah. Again, he wasn't condemning him, wasn't kicking sand on him, saying, you're harlots and stuff like that. He's saying, man, listen, this ain't the place to be that. And we say, well, yeah, but they got the right to do whatever they want to. But we have the right to share what the Word of God is. We share it out of love, okay? So again, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his word, follow him, and he's got your back. And you will live out purposely, the life that he's called you to do. And you'll get down and out on it, okay? Amen. Amen. Love one another. Encourage one another. Watch out for one another. And just serve the Master and be encouraged. No matter what you hear tomorrow or the next day, okay, Lord, help me get more salt in my life, you know? Let me, one thing I do recognize about seasons, though, most seasons are in the cupboards all together, right? Well, that's where you guys are right now. Seasons coming together, so, amen.